So you skipped over the part where a ghost pushed a kid down the stairs?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Rusty Quill presents Enthusiasm. Hello, friends and fans, and welcome to Enthusiasm. I am your host, Helen Gould, one of the best Rusty Quillers. And today we're talking about urban legends. I am delighted to be joined by April.
Hi.
Frank.
Hi. Do you want me to say hi?
Hello. You can say hi if you want, don't worry. We are joined by April, Frank, Hannah and Johnny. April, you've already said hi, so can you tell us what your pronouns are and what you do?
Hi, my pronouns are she, her, and I am the executive of production at Rusty Quill. So I'm in charge of making sure all of the things get made.
That is a very big job.
It is. It's a very busy job.
Frank, what are your pronouns and who are you?
Hi, I'm Frank. I'm a they, them. I'm just kind of a ghost that haunts Rusty Quill.
A welcomed ghost. Hannah, how about you?
Hello, I am Hannah. I am the producer for Rusty Quill Gaming, as well as Inexplicables and other Patreon content. So also helping make the things, but not on quite a broad, scary level as April, who is sees all and knows all and stuff.
And what are your pronouns?
Oh, I missed that. I'm so sorry. She, her.
Excellent. And finally, I want to make fun of your name and call you something like John Bonombomdum, but Johnny.
Why do you want to do that?
I don't know.
Why do you want to do that, Helen?
Because I like to
That's
make
fun of
very
cruel.
You.
I haven't even said anything yet.
Well, say something now. Give us your pronouns.
Can't believe you wouldn't take this seriously. Anyway, I'm Johnny, he, him, and I'm the man who killed Frank, rendering them a ghost.
I knew it.
Bound forever to Rusty
Quill.
It's
all coming out now.
The ritual was complete.
Well, speaking of rituals, we are, of course, talking about urban legends. And I'd like to start with, I'm just going to open the floor. Does anyone have a sort of favourite urban legend or one that is special to you or from where you live or your hometown or anything like that? They would like to start chatting about it.
I don't mind going first because, like, I when we were going through topics, I was just like, this is the one topic I know that I can go in on because... Because I love spooky things, and I live in a spooky town. And yeah, I grew up near Shane's Bridge, Goatman's Bridge. I'd like it on the record that me and my friends claimed that bridge several years before Shane and Ryan went there from BuzzFeed.
This is a call out specifically for Shane Madej of BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Yeah, but you didn't respond when he said, if you don't respond, it's my bridge.
I know. There you know go. What? That's fair, actually.
Legally binding.
We've done some ghost hunts down there before. When I was in high school, it was like a really common thing to get to go out there and see like the spooky legend.
Mm.
That bridge was actually in use for a long time before they built like a bypass road. But we went out there a couple of times, like when I was younger. And one of the times that we went out there, is the only time that I actually say that I've seen a ghost. And I believe that I've actually seen something otherworldly, I guess, because like I didn't believe in ghosts until like I went out to this place.
April, I beg you to tell me about this ghost.
So when we went out, it was actually like proper Scooby-Doo dark and stormy night kind of thing.
Nice.
So it wasn't like storming, but it was definitely like lightning in the distance. And we went out and we're like, okay, well, we'll just go and like we'll walk across the bridge and then like we'll be done. And so when we went out, there was like lightning. And we got distracted because, like, over in the trees, like, near the bridge, when we were walking up the hill toward it, we started seeing these little, like, lights on the ground, which I don't know if it was, like, lightning shining off of, like, spider webs or what it was, but it was really strange, like, sparkly light that distracted all of us, so we were just standing there watching it. And then I got bored and just decided to, like, walk away. And so I turned and walked off towards the bridge, which was, like, up and around, like, another bunch of trees. And when I went up and around, I saw this, like, misty white figure on the bridge, and as soon as I looked at it, it darted immediately to the other side of the bridge, to the right and down underneath the bank and under the bridge in like a moment. And I honestly thought that I didn't, like, I was like, okay, I'm seeing things, I'm just in the spooky mood. And then one of my friends came up behind me and said, did you just see that too? And I was like, wow. I honestly would have written it off if it wasn't one of my friends was on there and saw the exact same thing. And both of us were like completely shaken. But it was interesting because it wasn't scary.
Yeah.
Like it didn't have that like foreboding feeling or anything, but it definitely, I think I'm pretty confident it was like a ghost. So.
Well, so now I'm like, does anyone else have ghost stories?
No, I.
Yes.
I wish.
Was that a yes I heard?
Sure. I was wondering if urban legends included ghost type things, like what was under that category. So I don't know. Happened in a city. It's good enough.
We can discuss that later on if you like.
I am curious.
We can get super
think.
Intellectual because yes, we are all extremely it. Smart people.
In terms of ghost stories, I will not specify specific schools or locations or anything, but my high school theater was notoriously haunted enough that it became sort of an important part of the culture around being in that theater department. We would have ghost stories after the closing of pretty much every production of like, go into the Black Box Theater, big empty room, turn all the lights off, light some candles, sit in a circle. And there was never a time that nothing happened. There was always at least some, you know, footsteps on the floor, which was, you know, old and creaky wood and properly spooky. It was very nice. In terms of specific things that happened, there were quite a few. There were sort of some like recurring characters, if you will, that people would tend to see. For example, there was a tall man who is basically sounds like the silhouette of Slender Man if you think about it too hard, but did see that gent one time, just sort of it's not necessarily a great story. It's more just like turned and went, oh, well, that's not supposed to be there. And then it just kind of strangely moved off behind a wall. Oh,
what did
nice.
It look like? Just like a tall silhouette?
Kind of just a tall silhouette, yeah. Like a shadow cast by nothing, I suppose, if we had to get poetical with it. And yeah, there would be times where me and the director slash teacher of the drama department, who was basically like the Giles to everyone's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer squad, he and I would every once in a while need to just go into the theater and do like a good cop, bad cop with the empty air, which would occasionally make thuds on the wall in retaliation. And if it got too mean, be like, all right, you have now pushed a student down the stairs. That happened. Sometimes the doors would rattle. Heard like a random scream one time. That could have been someone outside, though. I don't know. Anyway, I feel like I'm mostly just rambling. The point is, I had a very cool theater department.
So you skipped over the part where a ghost pushed a kid down the stairs?
Yeah, I was about to say.
I was going to ask.
So, this was during a production about Edgar Allan Poe, so you know it got interesting. And part of this show was there was a group of actors who were called the Shadows, and they were dressed in these very, very spooky semi-Victorian, like all black with veils over their faces, and it was their job to basically be the voices in the titular character's head. They were quite spooky. And there were many times that they, you know, we'd have them sort of on the edges of scenes, like lurking around, being generally spooky. And sometimes there'd be an extra one, and everyone afterwards would be like, who was over here? I was supposed to be the only one over in this corner right now. And, you know, everyone else would be accounted for. And, oh, okay, there's Shadow 10. And there was one of the Shadow Chorus who seemed to get sort of bothered by this extra cast mate more frequently. And, we were all in rehearsal one time, and there's a sort of stairwell off of the main theater that leads to like the dressing rooms upstairs. And we all heard a scream and went over, and she was at the bottom of the stairs, and like, I'm not going to swear as much as she was, but she was freaked out and basically saying like, yeah, Shadow 10 just pushed me down the stairs, like saw out of the corner of my eye and then fell. And these are all things that obviously could be written off if you so desired. I won't blame anyone if anyone's like the skeptic in the room of being like, I don't know if that's legitimate, but it certainly seemed like it at the time, if nothing else.
I mean, I'm just writing like the mystery or like the Poirot in my head, where like it's this long-term plan to like somebody dresses as the extra shadow and is like laying all the stuff, and like is the ultimate goal is to try and assassinate this person. Ooh. And then convince everyone else that a ghost pushed them down the stairs.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't pick a very good flight of stairs.
No, that's not my actual theory. I'm not suggesting anyone tried to assassinate your schoolmate.
Cool.
It's just doing storytelling time.
It's just storytelling time.
I just finished watching all of Fear Street yesterday. Has anyone else watched that series?
I haven't gone around to it yet, I'm afraid. No.
I want to.
Okay. I don't like recommending things because things that I enjoy, as I've said before, are not necessarily good. I did enjoy Fear Street. The concept of that is that there are two towns and one of them is very well off. And the other town is cursed, and they're cursed because of a witch. And the three films go through three different time periods, finding out the actual story behind the urban legend of why this witch did it and who she was and what really happened. And it also goes through a lot of various tropes of like teenage horrors, like serial killers, like the hiding in the closet, the being alone in the mall and then suddenly attacked, that kind of thing. So give it a little bit of a go. But as you said, it's based on it's based on R.L. Stine books.
Yeah, I think it was it's the teenage version of Goosebumps.
Yes.
That came out. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, just the two of them go together.
Yeah, no, they are very much the twin pillars of childhood horror.
Yes. Something interesting to look at that in terms of looking into what is truth and what is legend and like how things can get twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is almost exactly how I was wanting this conversation to go. Thank you everyone for being so cooperative with my internal expectations. I would like to talk a bit more about internet urban legends and creepypasta and stuff like that, because we're sort of all of similar ages and we've all grown up with things like the SCP Foundation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if any of you saw the like Marble Hornets.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did we all watch it? Did we all watch Marble Hornets?
I only heard about it, but
I was in uni studying film when Marble Hornets came out, and I was like, they're better at this than I am.
I mean, I feel like they're tailed off.
Yeah, it was very much like it. Like a lot of these online horror stories, they very much like start without, like, it feels like, obviously I have no actual insight into their production, but it often feels like they start without really a thought of like, oh, how's it going to end? It's just like, oh, this is a fun thing, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And then it'll get big, and you often see them sort of enter a holding pattern which feels like it's both A, because they don't necessarily know how to move it forward, and B, because, you know, they've started making a little bit of money from it and want that to continue, understandably. And I feel like Marble Hornets very much entered this, like, weird holding pattern, like, late season two. I mean, I don't remember exactly how the seasons...
I don't even remember that it had seasons.
But the whole, like, sort of almost ARG creepypasta horror boom that Marble Hornets kicked up is fascinating. Like that it was these real time horror stories being told through like videos, but also through like Twitter accounts and like sometimes through packages being mailed to fans and that sort of thing, which is really fascinating to see happen, but also really infuriating if you're trying to like catch up and figure out what's happened.
I should explain to the listener, if you have not come across Marble Hornets before, it was, as Johnny just said, like an ARG horror series that started off some YouTube videos based around Slender Man and some people getting haunted and basically oh god, let's see if I can remember.
It's been a while.
One of them had started making a video project and then had suddenly stopped and disappeared, and the other one went to look for him and started uncovering Slender Man. And I remember that my favorite part of it is that in some of the shots in the background you can see Slender Man, and so my main thing was like being glued to the screen trying to see if I could spot him. That's my favorite
thing. Classic fan footage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I love it.
But yeah, that really was, I didn't realize until much later how much of a phenomenon it was. I thought it was just me watching it in my little university room.
I thought the Siren Head stuff that came up recently was really cool.
Yeah.
Just the design work that people have done in creating Siren Head videos. I just love him.
You'll have to tell me about what that is.
Oh, Trevor Henderson or Slimy Swamp Ghost on Twitter does a lot of sort of taking pictures and then like photos and then editing in horrible monsters. And he had what you might describe as a breakout cryptid called Siren Head. That is this sort of huge, tall, gangly thing with sirens for head that like camouflages itself in like telegraph wires and this sort of thing. It's very effective, a phenomenal bit of design.
It's really effective in sound design videos that I've seen that have come up, or like games. There's games that have been based off of it that I always think that it's really fun how they do the sound design in those, because it, even though you know it's just like regular sirens or like noises and stuff, but the way they make it feel like it's coming up behind you, you're like, it's a big stick with a siren on its head. Like, it shouldn't be scary, but it just...
It's the size of it.
Like, has that visceral feeling, and I think especially, like, I mean, growing up in South or Midwest, like, you're, like, every Wednesday at 1 p.m., they test the sirens.
Oh.
And so,
sirens,
like, you get for tornadoes.
Oh, right.
And so it's like one of those like really random Midwest things, but it's so strange that like when it's a Wednesday at 1 p.m., you like default, like delete it from your brain. But when you hear it out of context, it's like, oh no, I'm scared. I have to like hide. Mm.
There's something about noises in the woods that aren't supposed to be there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Incorrect noises. That, oh, that gets me. Like anything that's about mimicking human voices and stuff like that, yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah, I mean, sirens have been, like, for me, sirens ever since like the original Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Very much like, oh, yeah.
That reminds me as well of another Twitter thread that went on for a long time, which was, I think it was about a little boy called David. And it was this guy who did a really long Twitter thread about having nightmares about a ghost boy called David.
I remember that.
And like, he did little drawings of this creepy boy. Does everyone remember that? And I don't remember how it ended.
I vaguely remember it, but it was, that one was one that was running around a while ago.
Yeah, and there were people like... I know, it's really interesting to me how blurred the lines are becoming between like what I might call like natural urban legends and urban legends that are made for like content.
Yeah.
Now, because I think one of the questions I wrote down was, is creepypasta a kind of urban legend? And I think it is, but I would be interested to hear people's thoughts on that. Frank, you looked intrigued.
Oh, did I?
Okay,
absolutely brutal.
That's okay. On that let's take a break and we can all have a think.
Frank's hot takes when we come back.
And welcome back. So what do we think? Are do creepypasta count as urban legends? I think they're like a subgenre of urban legend. That's how I would class them.
I think that they can become urban legends, but I also think that, like, an urban legend needs a certain degree of ubiquitousness. Like, it needs to be kind of cut off from where it came from. Because, like, I mean, this isn't the sort of, oh, where is the line between, like, authored fiction and urban legend, like... that's a very old question. You look at something like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, the book. A lot of those
are
just written up versions of old urban legends and campfire tales. And there are one or two that were, as far as I'm aware, invented in that book, but have passed into the popular consciousness. And so I think it's the same with creepypasta. Something like Slender Man, definitely at this point an urban legend. But something like the David Twitter thread, for instance, I don't think that's an urban legend, because you know you don't really, the story there is not divorced from the Twitter thread. Like, no one's like, the concept of the ghost of the child David isn't something you would necessarily hear from someone who's never even heard of that thread.
So, like, a creepypasta can become an urban legend, but isn't one inherently.
I would say so.
I
think that's a fair argument.
So, I guess, the key really is the urban part. Like, it needs to...
I think if it grows beyond the realms of its original medium.
Yeah, it needs to be something that you can point to a physical location and say, ooh, that happened there, or it happened in this town, or in the woods, maybe, rather than, oh, I read it on the internet.
I just feel like it needs, kind of like Johnny said, it needs... oh, God, I had, like, a great phrase, and then I just ADHD'd it just to death. It just went. But it just needs to grow beyond its origin, I guess. Like, it needs to exist away from the author. Like, no one remembers who came up with Slender Man, you know, except for, like, internet historians.
What's his name? Eric Knudsen?
I have no idea.
I wouldn't... No idea. I also didn't know who created Siren Head until Johnny had mentioned that. That's why I was like, I think Johnny knows more about this than I do.
I'll be honest, that is a problem that Trevor Henderson has been facing over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Is that everyone's like, oh, this cool monster just turned up. And he's like, I made it.
I made a point to learn who Trevor Henderson was because I knew that he wanted to keep authoritative, like, he wanted to be the author of that. He made it.
Yeah. I think that's a hard part too, when it's like you have authorial like creation over something and then it grows beyond what you're able to hold.
I'm just thinking of the fact that I've seen a TikTok where instead of Siren Head, it's a massive Woody from Toy Story.
I've seen that
infinitely more terrifying.
Oh no.
There's a snake in my boot and
thank you.
just like coming out and garble like siren speech.
Now, like, to me, something is an urban legend if one 15-year-old could say that their friend had seen a thing or encountered something in their town. Obviously there's no proof, but you know, their cousin definitely saw this thing to another 15-year-old and the other 15-year-old would nod and like be like, yeah, right, but secretly kind of believe them. And crucially, neither of those teenagers would have been exposed to the original or like the source of story.
Like,
or
they
creature
would still come up with it without finding the original post.
Like, it's that feels to me like that's the point where it's been sufficiently like removed from its origin and just seeped into the cultural consciousness enough to be because like you can imagine like teenagers being like, no, yeah, my cousin saw, like, my cousin reckons that they saw Siren Head in the woods when they were camping last year, you know, we just heard it on the breeze.
Yeah,
you know, like that's how teenagers speak, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very in touch with the youth.
A bit squeakier, though.
Sorry, yeah.
Heard it on the breeze.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. I love how it sounds like they're floating away on the breeze.
Goodbye. Siren Head's got me. So that makes me want to circle around to the first question I asked, which is, maybe what's the first urban legend or, like, the notable urban legends that you personally have, like, heard or experienced? Because I know my first one was just that a certain house about a 5-minute walk from me had a witch in the attic.
Classic.
And as far as I understand, this was made up by the various neighborhood kids simply because it had one of those like a servant's window, just like one of those small round windows, and they'd be like, oh, if you look up there, she'll look at you. And I used to always hurry past that house on my way.
We had one of those literally just because the block across from us had, sometimes when the light hit the smoke, it was green. And so everyone was like, that's a witch over there.
I'm an expert on such things, and I can tell you for certain.
Definitely witchy.
Everyone got witches. I never encountered a witch urban legend growing up. We, like, it was always the thing of, like, if there was a small door in, like, a classroom or anything like that, it'd be, like, it generally wasn't, like, an established urban legend. It'd just be, like, you'd kind of be competing to be, like, what you reckoned was in there. and that. There was a lot of messed up stuff.
Do you have just small doors in the classrooms of your school?
Up on the wall, yeah, you know, like, in, like, I don't know, like in a high ceilinged like room or something like that, you'd have like a little hatch.
Yeah.
Okay. You
know, sometimes buildings have small doors.
Like, Hannah and I are learning about British architecture.
our schools are often, the architecture is not great. They're often repurposed from other stuff.
Yeah, it's like retrofitted Victorian buildings.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think usually they didn't even lead to like storage space. Usually they were just like access to the pipes or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume I never actually opened them. So, you know, could have been a witch.
Could have been. Yeah.
You don't know.
Something that, in retrospect, I find fascinating is that in my primary school, we were all convinced the attic was haunted for no apparent reason, just because it's an attic. But in hindsight, I'm like, there was a World War II bunker in our school. Why wasn't that haunted?
It's a great question.
I have the rare privilege of people actually thinking that my street, the one that led to my house, was haunted. We didn't have street lights on this street. There's only like 5 or 6 houses down there. So obviously...
This is the episode where we find out Helen's the ghost.
Yeah. Helen, I think you're from the past.
I might be. But it meant that walking down that bit of the road, it was completely pitch black because there's no street lights. Yeah. And I used to pelt down there yelling or singing until I got to my house.
Yeah.
Because they'd planted all these trees so no one could actually see our houses. There was like a big barrier of trees between us and the main road where the bus came. So for other kids walking by, it just looked like normal street, a weird pitch black turn off into a creepy avenue, and then normal street.
I can see how that would be the haunted street. Like,
did you yes. live in like a prototype for The Village?
Yeah, right?
That was the beta test.
Yeah, just the night's beta test, exactly.
Yeah.
No, but it was fairly old-fashioned. Everyone who lived out, like, we were the youngest family there. And on one side, we had a neighbour who kept loads of geese and wouldn't control them. So every so often, I'd wake up and there'd be geese in the front garden. just honking.
This story keeps getting better. I want to know everything there is to know about this haunted goose road.
Spooky geese.
It's April, don't worry about it. It's just an urban legend. Geese aren't actually real.
Geese can't hurt you.
The geese man cometh.
What's really bad is like you guys could probably just convince me and Hannah that thing. Like you could make up your own urban legends.
Honestly, yeah.
And Hannah would be like, "Oh yeah, it must be a British thing." I don't know.
That would be interesting to know if there's different urban legends.
I mean, no, all our urban legends are garbage, though.
I'm gonna divulge something that's gonna take away an opportunity that I would have if any of y'all came to visit me. but I got tricked when I was really little. And one of the earliest, like, urban legends that I guess I ended up, like, falling for lasted for way too long of my life. Like, just way too long.
Oh, no.
But jackalopes I thought were real for into my teens.
Aww.
And because when I was really little, maybe about, like, 5 or 6, we went to, like, Texas Roadhouse, which is, like, a chain of restaurants out here. But they have... like stuffed jackalopes. So they'd take rabbits and then they would put antlers on them and it was just everywhere. And so I was like, oh, what are those? And so my dad told me, oh, those are jackalopes. And I was like, oh, like I've never seen one before. And he's just like, oh yeah, they're only in Wyoming. He's like, your uncle and I go hunting for them sometimes. We haven't been able to go in a while because like y'all are really little, but like I'll take you when you're older. And I was convinced until I was like 14 that jackalopes were real. They were only in Wyoming.
Oh my God.
And someday I was going to get to go jackalope hunting with my family. And oh. I would tell all of the other kids.
Oh, April, and... no.
Oh,
and I was just so upset because I was like, no, I know. My dad wouldn't lie to me.
Oh, no. I love that it's Wyoming.
Became more. I know the internet became more widely accessible, and I found out that was not true, and I felt a fool, and I hated the state of Wyoming, and blamed the state for fooling me.
You deceitful bastard!
But I have
Did
a goal.
Did you tell your dad about it? Did you like have a reckoning with him?
Yeah. I remember a few times. I Yeah. I remember him a few times. I gave him a hard time about that, where I was just like, you lied to me for years. I can't trust you.
Oh, wow.
It was with the best of intentions, but I think it's probably one of the funniest things now. I kind of want to, like, my nephews and my niece aren't here right now, but I kind of want to start something like that where, but my sister probably wouldn't let me get away with it. Mm. I'd just be like, oh, I can convince them some sort of cryptid is absolutely real and just see how long I can do it. Like, I can't hold a grudge against my dad for it because I would absolutely do that.
Well, April, if Rusty Quill folks ever come and visit and we have some kind of group gathering, I will absolutely back you up if you decide to sell jackalopes as a real thing.
My goal is to someday convince somebody the jackalopes are real. Unfortunately, the internet is preventing that from being able to be a...
Listen, people still believe there's plastic rice for some reason. Like,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. In some ways, the internet gives you a better chance. Yeah. You can just, like, just create your own...
I'm always so disappointed in, like, British cryptids and British urban legends. Like, you know, you'll
have,
like...
the black cats.
Black cat. Oh, the black dog. Or, like, oh, there's, you know, the... I mean, I guess we got Nessie.
Nessie's pretty good.
But, like, that's the, like... But, like, at this point, that's not scary. And, like, all the others, like, oh, the beast of Dartmoor. What is it? It's like a boar, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
They're all just like, this is a big cat, or this is a big scary dog. And it's like, oh, they're just, are you sure you did not just see an animal?
I mean, I think that big thing is a very valid character concept.
Yeah, but they're just like, and half the time you read it and it's like, oh, do you mean it's like not big, it's just that someone said it looked weird. And it's like, okay, good, so... weird, but it's fine. Also, when I go to a new town, I like to go on like the sort of the haunted mystery tour.
And yes,
they're never like, they're all like, oh, in the 17th century, it is said the devil pulled a man through a grate here. And it's like, I don't care. That's way too long in the past. It's not scary. Devil's not going to pull me through a grate.
Yeah, I'm like, where's the Freddy Krueger? Where's the child who was pulled into their bed in 1987 and no one could explain it, and now the house is covered in blood?
Yeah, there's that awesome Protestants were burned here, and now sometimes people think they can smell burning. Okay.
Mm. I'll tell you what, me and my friends, once we went on a weekend where we did the ghost walks. We went to Lincoln and York ghost walks. And the one that stuck with me is the one from Lincoln, where I can't remember the details, but a monk got beheaded at the top of a hill. And
monks get beheaded all the time, Helen.
That's why they have that bald spot on top.
I'm sorry.
Either the monk was beheaded at the top of the hill, or he was beheaded elsewhere and was being carried to the top of the hill. Mm. But the point of it is that... The coffin or the body was dropped and the head bounced all the way back down, and people are said to see the bouncing head rolling by.
That's amazing.
That one's just fun.
That's the one.
And it is said that on still nights you can still hear from the top of the hill drifting distantly the phrase, oh, fuck's sake, I'm going to have to go get that.
On the breeze.
Wow.
Boy, on the breeze.
Yeah. You hear it whispered on the wind. That would be like if like people nowadays, like millennials, become ghosts. Like, just you just hear the sound of memes on the wind.
It do be like that sometimes.
just me haunting like my childhood home, just being like, road work ahead.
I saw a see-through man in the distance. Didn't do much, he was just flossing.
I like this boring ghost collection.
This is boring millennial ghosts don't have the energy to do much.
Yeah. No.
I mean, to be fair, most classic ghosts are a bit boring. It's like, oh, they say that you can still see the old queen walking along this corridor. Just walking. So I'm sorry, I'm really down on urban
No!
I had a ghost swear rubbish. At me once. That's
I love
fun.
The idea that like you go in somewhere and they're like, some days like you can still hear music playing in the background and it's like Crazy Frog.
I especially like the implication that Crazy Frog died.
Yes.
Crazy Frog was in a brutal car crash.
But it still found a way to live on.
Hannah, you said something there about did something what push you, touch you? What was that?
Oh no, a ghost swore at me. Yeah, this was at
really?
Yeah, this is at a place called the Stanley Hotel, which is in the mountains of Colorado, and it is the place that inspired Stephen King to write The Shining.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been there.
Yeah, that's why that sounds familiar.
Yeah, very cool place. I've gone there a couple of times for ghost hunting conventions, and it's a very good time. And part of that is naturally that you get to do a little bit of investigating. And there's this one area, I think it's the music hall. It's like a separate building, but there's a balcony overlooking this little concert area. And the reported ghost there is this just sort of sounds like an angsty teen who's just like pissed off and like people will smell BO. Like it's just this, it's just angsty teen ghost. And apparently he will
can't stand a smelly ghost.
The smelly ghost.
Yeah, yeah. This is a legitimate thing that people have said. And so when we went up there, we had another phasmophobia, call it the little spirit box that like cycles through radio frequencies and you can hear. Those are things that you can use. And in this particular instance, there's sort of a rotating group thing because there were a decent number of people there. And we were nearing the end of the time that we could be there. There had been like some words and stuff, but nothing super interesting. And I said, you know, hey, Eddie, that was the name of the ghost. Like, we have to go soon. Can you maybe like just give us one last thing before we have to go? And I swear to you, clear as day, it said, you.
Wow.
And I have audio of that. I can prove that happened. So whether that's some weird quirk of radio frequencies, I don't know, but it was fun.
You just tuned that's into fun. Like you know numbers stations.
Yeah.
There's also swearing stations.
Perfect.
Where like Russian spies just swear at you constantly over the airwaves.
That just makes me think of Ryan Bergara on BuzzFeed Unsolved. And that time where he just said spaghetti on the spirit box.
There's a hungry ghost.
Yeah.
Hungry ghost.
What'd you say if you were a ghost, Frank?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think if I was a ghost, I'd just be angry. I'd just be annoyed and contrarian. You know what? If people were mad at me and were like, we're going to kill you so that you piss on off, I'd stick around. Be like, I'm here forever now. Yeah. Get
rest. The correct response to almost getting hit by a car in the crosswalk is to be like, you hit me, I'll haunt you.
If you were a ghost in my house, Frank, I'd blame all my antisocial behaviour on you. Oh, who ate the last Jaffa cake? Well, I mean, Frank's ghost just loves...
We can't be sure, but I don't know.
Very, very inconsiderate ghost.
You know, I hate Jaffa cakes, but I would just to annoy people.
you wouldn't eat it, you just knock it onto the floor so people are like, oh, I don't want to eat that, it's been on the floor.
No. A ghost touched it and it's been on the floor.
I almost said something about looking forward to seeing you as a ghost and then I realized the implications, so I'll just retract that entire thought. Never mind.
I'd love to murder you.
You take such a cool ghost. Like that's such a like positively but like threatening statement. Like you would make such a cool ghost.
Have you ever considered being a ghost? I think it would suit you.
That's even Johnny says it. It sounds like terrifying.
Naturally, yeah.
Okay, we are almost out of time. So I would like to have a final question, which is, if you were a cryptid, which one would you be? And I would like to be, if it was me, I would want to be a kind of Sasquatch because they just live in the woods and chill out and and a smelly to make people go away.
Yep.
And I think that is very cool and valid of them.
We support Sasquatches here at Rusty Quill.
We do. Any other thoughts on what cryptid you would like to be?
It's the new Enthusiasm merch. Enthusiasm. We support Stinky Sasquatch.
Stinky Sasquatch Club.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'll go. I'll put one forward. I'll go with Mothman, because I enjoy the thought of just kind of sitting places with wings and looking ominous, and occasionally maybe like screwing with people telepathically, but otherwise just looking spooky and sitting in high places and flying around like that. I'd do that all day.
And also having an incredible ass.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Well, just... I didn't know that.
So the internet has decreed.
<All right. laughs> No, it's there's a statue. There's a statue of Mothman with a really perched.
You know, I've never seen the backside of that statue.
I'm gonna have to
go see the backside of that statue.
Apparently, yeah. I gotta go see it now.
Right, Mothman butt is gonna be in my Google search.
Good, excellent.
I would, while you're looking that up, I'm actually going to forgo some of the, like, common U.S. ones. I would probably go with Nessie. I would like to be Nessie. So I can just swim around all day, like, occasionally pop my head up, and then just mostly just, like, screw off and be by myself. Just, like, troll people. That'd just be great.
We're all just really wanting to go hang out places and ignore people. And
that's the best part about cryptids.
Nah,
yeah,
I would be a Bloody Mary, I think. Just hanging out in a mirror, because I like the idea of murdering cocky teenagers who are like, sure, yeah.
Johnny, right. No!
Bloody Mary, and I was just like, ha.
You know, we did a Bloody Mary on a school trip once. No, and I'm pretty sure, like, part of me is still, to this day, 20-odd years later, convinced that our room was haunted after that.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's the reason that we became friends, mate. Like, it was just a very delayed, like, you did it, and then I turned up.
I didn't even do it. I was just there.
Yeah, no, like, that's why we can be mates, you know? If it was you that actually did it, I'd have to kill you. But as it is...
Yeah, so you had to just come and be friends.
Well, so gang, you heard it here first. You say Johnny Sims in the mirror three times, and
he will appear.
He'll show up and kill you or something.
Don't, though, because the travel's a nightmare, and I'll just be like, oh, God.
You need to book it in, like, you need to get in touch with a personal assistant. There's a busy schedule involved. Like, you can't be in all mirrors all the time.
Yeah. So, Frank, which one would you be?
Oh, I would be April's evil twin, because I'd be the Glock Nest monster, baby.
Yay!
Wow. Like, my favorite Tumblr post that just says, a cryptid that shoots you when you see it. Glock Nest monster.
Glock Nest monster.
That
I love
works.
It.
That's on brand.
I'm like, yep, that's me. There we go.
There you go.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you can all see in chat the magnificent Mothman butt.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It is. Shiny and pendulous.
Whoa, that is magnificent.
It is chrome and firm.
Cryptid thirsty note.
They thought they could hide it with the wings.
Is it really an enthusiasm if we don't get thirsty at some point? Like,
no.
There it is.
They
Who knew?
It the wings,
it'll be Mothman.
So, we're going to end it there. Thank you very, very much for listening. I hope you've had a lovely time like we have. And for now, it's goodbye from me. Goodbye. And it's goodbye from them. Everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Enthusiasm is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. It is directed by Helen Gould, produced by Lori Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner, and edited by Marissa Ewing, Tessa Vroom, Jeffrey Nils Gardner, and Catherine Ranella. Thanks for listening.